George Springer made his debut today for the Jays. He was batting, you know, leadoff, which is what we'd expect. I think he was a DH today, which will not happen when the regular season kicks off. He's going to be playing in center field. But their lineup looked pretty good, 1-6. And it may have actually told us something about where Montoya was going to go with this. He had Springer hitting one, Semien hitting two, into Bichette, into Vladdy, and you move on from there. Because there is some debate after you get through Springer in the one hole, what's going to happen with the rest of this lineup. And to chat about it, we're joined now by Keegan Matheson of MLB.com. He covers the Jays. He is live in Dunedin.
Love
he made
it.
The drive down to Dunedin.
Let's hear about that.
Let's get to the real stuff here, Keegan. Take us through this thought process and what provoked you to jump in your car and drive all the way down to Dunedin, Florida.
Well, let's not call it a good idea, boys. That was a journey. I'd like to thank the state troopers of various states for not having their eyes on the road at a few different times. But it was, a couple 12-hour days to get down here, and certainly a long one. But good drive. Good to be here.
Keegan, we were talking about it earlier. How long do you think you will be there, if you could kind of guess? Whether you go to Buffalo after, hopefully end up in Toronto sometime. I actually don't see that happening anytime soon. How long do you predict you'll be down there in Florida?
Well, for me, I'll be down here for most of the rest of spring training. Now, we're like everyone, we're making this up as we go along and seeing how the schedule goes. The real interesting part will be when or if they go to Buffalo. And a lot of that has to do with the minor league season, of course, and a lot of that has to do, guys, with that Toronto projection, you know. So if the Blue Jays think they can get to Toronto midsummer, well, you skip Buffalo. You just do one big move. But that's a huge if at this point, and we know there's 100 variables to go along with that. So looking like it'll be a three-step plan, hopefully some Toronto at some point this year, but that's nothing I'm going to bet on with any level of certainty because of everything that goes into that.
Well, as we've mentioned, you're one of the few Toronto media that are down in Dunedin and covering the team. It's still from afar. You can't get in there and get face-to-face maybe like you could in a standard year. But you saw it today where Charlie Montoyo, he had Springer hitting one, Semien hitting two, into Bo three, Vladdy four. Could you see that being the case? I mean, was that kind of a flash into the future in terms of how this batting order could play out this upcoming season?
Yeah, that does make some sense. George Springer is the leadoff hitter. I think that's what we're going to see opening day and most days. Maybe you'll see Bo Bichette behind him. You know, have Springer as that high on base percentage guy, and then there comes Bo Bichette just swinging out of his shoes in the number two hole. I think that makes sense. Today was more about just getting Springer two at-bats and then getting him the heck out of there. It's Grapefruit League. He's DHing. No need to prolong that. So I think mission accomplished there, but yeah, George Springer at the DH, or sorry, at the leadoff spot makes a lot of sense for the Blue Jays. And through that 3-4-5-6, you'll see that mixed up a lot. Rowdy Tellez will be part of that sometimes as well. But having those guys up there, then you have Biggio to play with, another high on base guy, maybe even at the bottom of the lineup. So lots of toys for Charlie, definitely.
Not a lot to go on as far as the Springer vibe, but whenever you bring in a star player with that kind of contract, there's always the swagger. Can you talk about that at all, what it looks like, what the players around him? Can you get a sense of what the Springer vibe is like in spring training?
Yeah, it fits. You know, he's really fitting that role of a franchise player, and a lot of that is public-facing. You know, he's going to be the guy that answers for big wins, but he's also going to be the guy that we're talking to after seven losses in a row in August or something like that and saying, why is this happening? So for the Blue Jays to have that veteran voice, you know, that matters, as you guys know. And having Springer there is a fit. And one example Charlie Montoyo gave us, and this is minor, but I think you can really expand it, is that George Springer is a guy who likes to hit off of a fastball machine, not just taking slow BP, but really getting some heaters in BP. A lot of younger guys don't like that, but once they saw George Springer doing it, there's suddenly a line of young guys trying to use that machine, right? So when you see the $150 million man, that's what we all want to be. That's what these players want to be. So when he jumps, they're going to jump with him, and I think you're seeing that slowly starting to develop, you know, that leadership role.
With Keegan Matheson of MLB.com. Again, George Springer made his debut today. He was hitting in the leadoff spot, playing DH. He will play center field, we know that. It's been determined if he stays healthy, Gurriel will likely play in left. So the rotation could lead to, you know, right field. Is it Grichuk? Is it Teoscar Hernandez? Maybe other options potentially at some point. And even DH Because you mentioned Rowdy. I mean, he brings something that is somewhat of a unicorn on this team. He's a left-handed bat, and he really produced last year before he got injured. And it appears as if he's in a good spot to continue to do that this year. Hernandez was pretty open and honest recently, saying he doesn't like being a DH, but he understands it's likely going to be a reality. How do you see those positions kind of playing out and how this battle is going to work out in right field and the DH spot once the season begins?
Yeah, and that comfort with the DH spot matters. You know, it from the outside looking in, DH looks easy. It's not. You're sitting on the bench, and your total time at the plate for that night might be 2 minutes. That's a lot to prepare for, and that's a lot to stay mentally sharp for. When we look at this guy's finding at-bats for Randall Grichuk, I think is the stumbling point right now, because having Hernandez in right field, is he your best defender? No, but he's probably going to hit enough for you to be distracted from that. Randall Grichuk would be that best defensive outfielder in right, but you're going to want to have Rowdy Tellez and that left-handed bat in the lineup. You're going to have days where Vladdy needs to DH or George Springer needs to DH. So this is an awkward situation for the Blue Jays. It's a good problem on one hand, yes, but you're paying Randall Grichuk in that extension like he's a starter, and that's not really there right now for the Blue Jays. These things tend to take care of themselves, but right now, an awkward situation, and I think it's Grichuk you're trying to wedge in, because having Gurriel, Hernandez on the bench, that doesn't make sense.
With Keegan Mathison of MLB.com, you know, baseball continues to evolve, continues to change. The focus on being a utility player, you know, that's not a black cloud over a player's head. Like that's an attribute, that's a compliment, and it feels as if that is the direction we're going here with Austin Martin, where, you know, he played short predominantly in college. I think he played some third, some second base. They're giving him some reps in the outfield. He is down there. He's played. I believe he made his debut yesterday. What are you seeing out of Martin? What is the general vibe from the team in terms of his future and his timeline and how they intend on developing him?
Well, he's open to playing these positions. We know the Blue Jays love multi-position guys, and you know, traditional baseball fans, and myself included, I love it when a guy runs out the same position every day, but that's not how it's working a lot in Major League Baseball now. So Martin started at shortstop yesterday, two errors, and then made the defensive play of the game. So it was a real prospect type of game for him. The question for him, guys, coming out of NCAA ball, was his throwing arm on the infield. Similar to what we saw with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming from the outfield, there's a different motion when you're on the infield or the outfield, a longer or a shorter throw. Some guys are better at one, so they'll try him out in the outfield. He's athletic enough to be in center field, certainly. But as long as they can find a spot where his glove is playing well enough, his bat is very advanced. You know, the power might not be there just yet, but his contact is fantastic, and that ceiling is definitely there. That's a real wave with he and Jordan Groshans, the number three prospect behind him, coming up. A legitimate top-tier wave of prospects coming again.
Yeah, it's a pretty good spot to be in. I wouldn't be shocked if at least one of them was peddled, though, at some point. You know, if they're going to go out there and make a big splash for an arm in the future, and I'm sure we'll see where that leads to come the trade deadline or even into next offseason. But they're off and running down there in Dunedin. You're one of the very few lucky ones to be there covering it. Good luck with it, Keegan. Really appreciate you doing this, man. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Talk soon.
Yep, there's Keegan Mathison of MLB.com. Jumps in the car and drives down to Dunedin.
Gotta respect it.
Respect him. He's only going to be down there for a month. You know, he said more or less he'll be here until the end of spring training, which is a long time. I mean, people drive down to Florida to stay there for a week. But that's commitment to the job. And
dude, when I didn't fly, Hayes, I'd have to do something in Toronto when I lived down in South Florida. I would drive home and drive back. Like doctor's appointment or something.
No, you wouldn't. You'd come up for a doctor's appointment?
Well, if it was a doctor's appointment, I'd make sure there was two or three check on a cottage to just make it a kind of a day trip, and then I would turn around and go back down there. It was insane.
Wow, man. That is
when I look back on it, I'm not flying. No kidding. It is a real commitment.